Good day, friends. As we begin the broadcast today, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy glorified presence once again with thankful hearts that our lives have been spared to this present moment. We ask, Father, that thou will be with us in the endeavors that we do to serve thee. We pray on this broadcast today for those who are away from the Lord. We're glad for brethren who are making this broadcast possible, sounding it into the homes and the hearts of those who are away from the Lord. We trust they may turn to thee just as the Bible teaches. And as we bring out this home Bible study series, may it point to them what God has in mind for the forgiveness of their sins and for the Christian life. We're thankful for the brethren who make this broadcast possible. And we know they, as well as ourselves, are thinking of those who are sick today. Many, many times there are prayers offered for those who are ill, and we trust the means that being used, Father, if it be according to thy will restore them to their normal health. We pray for those not alone who are sick, but we pray for those who indeed mourn the loss of loved ones. And our prayer indeed goes out to thee in full thanksgiving for thy Son, who gave his life upon the cross that we might have forgiveness of sins. We pray for our nation and nations of the world, that men may realize so well that thou art God, and doth rule in the affairs of men. Now help us, Father, in our study from thy word today, that thy name may be glorified. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, our home Bible study series is once again coming to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, and as we said last time on the broadcast, we're covering a span of subjects. We dealt with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden and pointed out how that once again that tree of life will be appreciated within the gates of the city. Remember that wonderful reference in Revelation 22:14, where John so ably put it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates of the city." Now our lesson today ties in with making heaven our home, because often people are asking the questions not alone, what must I do to be saved, or how must I worship God, but also how must I live? You know, I was in a man's home not too long ago, and I thought he came up with an interesting point. He said one thing that came to his mind when he was called upon to exhort the church, that perhaps he would be looked upon as telling other people how to live. Well, if you were looking at this from a human standpoint, I can see how a person would be, well, he'd be somewhat under a pressure, realizing that our own lives must be what God wants them to be. But really, the point that can be brought out on that subject is that we are not telling anyone how to live from the human standpoint. We're simply pointing out what God wants us to do. And you remember that scripture we had last time in the 12th chapter of Romans in verse 1. If you were tuned in then, you recall that Paul simply told the brethren that he was beseeching them by the mercies of God to present their bodies as a living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable in his sight. He said this was their reasonable service, or their spiritual worship. It would be holy and acceptable in the sight of God, and it truly was a spiritual worship. On the broadcast today, when we begin talking about how we should live, we simply want to say that our life can be looked upon as building a house, or perhaps the growing of a tree. In the case of a house, we must have the foundation, and I want to make it very clear that the Lord has made it possible for the foundation to be there fixed in our life as we approach the Christian life. The foundation is faith. Just as Paul said in Ephesians 2:20, of the Christians at Ephesus, it's true of all Christians today, wherever they might be, that our life is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, there must be debris that must be cleared away before we can build the house. But then we have that foundation, we build upon it. We build by putting piece upon piece together in our life, and eventually coming to the conclusion of our life. As a tree, we have the root structure, and even though the tree does not move about, yet we find it grows. Paul brought this out clearly in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 58, when he said in the final verse of that great chapter, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And the tree idea was brought out by David very conclusively in the first Psalm, when he spoke of the righteous man and saying that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The point I want to bring out is that in the Christian life, We simply put Christ into our life, keep taking those things as a valuable input into our life to leave no place for the devil. I want to go to the fifth chapter of Galatians, where I believe Paul makes a very wonderful statement here about Christian living. Listen to this verse with its dynamic teaching, the 16th verse of the fifth chapter of Galatians, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, the devil can only get into our life if we're going to give place to him. It's a mistaken idea to think that we can be tempted above what we're able to bear. How many times have you heard someone say, well, the temptation was so great that I couldn't bear it? In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 12th and 13th verses indicate something very constructive along this line. Paul says first in the 12th verse, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. So we must be assured that we can sin, we can fall away from the Lord. But then in the 13th verse, he said, no temptation has taken us but what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not permit us to be tempted above what we are able to bear, and with the temptation will make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, this shows that we make progress and we are consistent in following the teaching of the Spirit. Undoubtedly, that's how we walk in the Spirit, just like the early disciples in Jerusalem in Acts 2:42. It was said of them, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But when we're walking in the Spirit, what's going to be a part of our life? Well, let's drop down to verse 22, where he simply talks about the fruit of the Spirit. May I insert this thought at the very outset? You see, these qualities of Christian living that cause us to develop and grow as Christians, that answers the question, how does he want us to live, are things that do not happen overnight. We are born again. We begin as the small seedling that begins to grow. The seed has been planted. It grows. It develops. It eventually comes to be a full tree. But there must be, first of all, the planting of the seed. The reason I'm bringing this out is that people think many times that their Christian life is going to be full grown overnight. It just doesn't take place that way. But notice what he says in verse 22 again. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the kind of fruit that you want in your life for the Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Then he says in verse 25 another point. If ye live in the Spirit, if we're going to live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now there are certain things that are going to be left out of our life, and if we fill our life with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and follow that course, then we're not going to be giving place to these. Now notice how negative all of these are. The works of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit, but the works of the flesh, as he brings it out in verse 19 of this same fifth chapter of Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These things are that which would war against the soul. Now someone says, well, I don't want these things in my life, but sometimes they creep in. Someone might say, well, there's some of these things you've mentioned that are already a part of my life. How am I going to get rid of them? Well, if you're not a Christian, of course, your sins can be completely forgiven when you obey the gospel. Paul made that very clear in a very famous passage in Ephesians 1:7. Be sure and read that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And as I've told you before on this broadcast, if you want to know how complete every sin can be forgiven that you have committed in the past, ask the question, how rich is the grace of God? And if you can tell me how rich the grace of God is, then I can tell you how completely your sins are forgiven. So the problem can be solved as far as getting rid of these things being counted against you by simply obeying from your heart that gospel. We've told you in past broadcasts how to do it, but it's a part of the story. So we simply say that the Word of God depicts that we must hear, believe, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, that we believe He is the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ, immersed in water, in the likeness of his death, to be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is, according to Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16, for the remission, for the forgiveness, or for the washing away of our sins. Then someone says, well, they have become a part of my life as a Christian. Well, when Paul wrote to the Galatian congregations, apparently he found that this may have been the case in the lives of some people who profess to be Christians. But this, too, can be forgiven. In Acts the 8th chapter, Brother Simon had committed a sin after being baptized into Christ. He was told to repent and pray, and perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. But in the main, what are we talking about? We're talking about what you put into your life daily. Don't believe that love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and goodness, and gentleness, and faith are things of old hat region. Think of them as qualities that go into your life that really make something out of you. It's like Peter said in 2 Peter 1, bringing out very conclusively the foundation of faith and saying, add to your faith virtue, and then knowledge, and then temperance, then godliness, then brotherly kindness and charity. Patience was in there too. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make something out of you. They're going to make you that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Bible, it's telling us how we can be in the know for the Lord. You may have questions about how to live the Christian life. If you have problems, the Bible has a solution to the problems. Let us hear from you. Or even better, go to the house of the Lord. Be in the assembly this week. The announcer will tell you the time of services of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. Why don't you come along, bring your Bible and your entire family. Tell a friend also about this broadcast and be with us next time as we deal with the final message in this current home Bible study series.